How many today say, Pastor, I want to be consumed by grace? Do you want to be consumed by grace? I tell you what, women, as we study grace, I can't help but study this subject as we talk about God's grace and it not consume you. When we really have an understanding, a working knowledge of the God's grace in our life, I will tell you this, it will consume you. It will consume your thoughts. It'll consume your actions. It'll consume the way you talk. It'll consume the way you walk. It'll consume the way you act. Because grace changes everything. Grace changes everything. And this is the very foundation as a Christian that we learn and have a understanding of the meaning and the power and the application to our life of where grace really fits. So we've been talking about grace. We talked about the righteousness of grace, how it was accounted to us, how God deposited righteousness in our account, not because of what we've done, but because of who he is. Not because of our performance, but because of our position in Christ at salvation. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about unchangeable grace and how that grace is unchangeable. And today, we're going to talk about this thought of married to grace. Married to grace. Let me ask you this question. Are we under the law? Are we under the law? Are we under the law? Justin, are we under the law? Are you sure about that? Huh? Are you sure we're not under law? How many think we're still under law? How many think we're still under grace? And it's kind of a mixed crowd there. Most of you think we're under grace. Still, a lot of people think we're under law. Let's see what Scripture says about this. This was not a trick question, by the way. I just want to get your opinion. Let's look at Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have what? Dominion. Which means what? Power. Sin shall not have power over you, for you are not under law, but what? Under grace. We are not under law, but we're under grace. How many know that we still live our life like we're under law? Really, most of us here, we still live our life like we're under law. Pastor, is the law not important? Yes, the law is still very important. And we're going to talk about that in a few weeks. We're going to be talking about the law of grace and where does the law fall under this concept of grace and where does it apply to our life. The law is still important, but Scripture teaches us that we're not under law, but the law of grace. Let me tell you this. Does everyone know here that you have been married? Teenagers, do you know you've been married before? Those of you who've only been married one time, do you know you were married before? Those of you who have never been married to a spouse, do you know you have been married before? Do you realize that? Today, I want us to look at the Scripture. I want you to see and look where we've been married before. Romans 7, 1 through 4. Look what it says. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has power, has dominion over a man, as long as he lives. For a woman has a husband. Now look at what happened here. First of all, he's telling us that it just translates this dominion, this power. What it really is translating is the word they use for the word married here. Okay? And so this actually is translating that we are married to the law. Whether you like it or whether you don't, we all have been married to the law one time. And then to explain it, Paul goes on to explain the law of marriage. And he's going to show how the law of grace and the law of the law relates to the law of marriage. And this is what he's doing right here. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. Go to the next page. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, look what it says. Therefore, my brethren, you have also become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should go and bear good fruit. Now, what Paul was trying to teach us right here, he was showing us the law of marriage and saying that by law, that the only way we were released from marriage was through what? Through death. That's the way the old law was. The only way we were released through marriage was by the death of a spouse. And so he says in the same form that you and I were married to the law. That's what it says. We were married to another this time. He says, but there's another way today for you to be married to, and it's not the law. It's God wants you to be married to what? Grace. God wants you to be married to grace. As a matter of fact, he has supplied the spouse. It's grace. We have been given this. In the natural, you marry until death. And the law lasts. How long does the law last? Someone asked me how long the law will live. John Black, how long will the law live? Forever. That's right. The law will live forever. For those of you who want to outlast and outlive that spouse, good luck. You want to outlive that spouse, good luck. It's not going to happen because the law lives forever. And so if death is the only way we can divorce from the law and the law lives forever, then what's the other option? This is where our God's good. This is where our God is so awesome because he knew this. And so God formed another plan for grace in our life. The law doesn't die. You know who dies? It's you and I. Look what Scripture says. And I want you now, knowing that, I want you to realize this and look at it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Look at God's brilliant plan. This is going to jump off to you now like a great revelation. Look what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old things have died, have passed away. And behold, all things have what? Become new. The law doesn't die. I die. I die. When I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I am what? Crucified with Christ. I am buried with him in his death and resurrection. I'm raised. That's why we have baptism. That's why we have baptism is identified with the death and burial of our spiritual man to be dying to the flesh. And our spiritual man is raised again, a new creation in Jesus Christ. This is a big thing because today, realizing that we die to ourself. When we die to ourself, we're dying to the law. And because of death happens, we are free to remarry. And who do we remarry? We remarry Jesus. Grace. Grace. We remarry grace. That's who we have been given, the marriage partner of grace. I mean, the law, what kind of husband? The Word of God talks about this, that the law was all of our husbands. Now, some of you guys need to get this in your mind, okay? You have a hard time, comprehending this. But today, the Bible's very clear when it comes to examples and how we relate. It says that all of us, men and women, we are the bride, okay? We are the bride, and he is the groom, okay? And so, just get it through your mind. You're going to have to work really hard. Some of you guys are going to work really hard to get this concept in your mind. But how many know that the law was a bad husband? It really was. How many would like to be married to a husband who comes around and all they do is point out your faults? I mean, if your husband said, you do this wrong, 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 okay, there's one thing you did right, but you know everything else that you do is wrong. Everything you do is wrong, 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 wrong. I mean, that's not a good way to live, is it? It's a horrible marriage. It's not a way we want to live our life. But that's the way the law was. The law pointed out all of our wrongs. It's very critical. It's very overbearing. The law was a husband that was overbearing, very critical in our life, and who would never die. So God had a brilliant plan. He allowed you and I to die in Christ and to be reborn again, that we may be married to grace, no longer to be held under the law. So let's talk about some things about the law today. The law cannot justify. First of all, we see this, that being married to grace, we realize that the law cannot justify. Look what Romans 3:20 says. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be what? Justified in his sight. That working good deeds in the law does not justify you and I. Look what verse 28 says. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by what? By faith, apart from deeds of the law. So we see that our justification comes through faith. Faith in what? Faith in the grace of Jesus Christ. Faith that God has graciously given me, died for me, and given me grace. Unmerited, undeserved, unearned. It only can be accepted, the free gift of salvation. And so when I accept it by faith, I become justified. I'm not justified by trying to work the law, trying to work out the law in my life. I'm going to do all these good things, and God's going to love me. Even after salvation, all right, God, I accept your grace, and then we try to earn his grace the rest of our Christian walk. somewhere we've got it messed up. We've got our mind has gotten just the opposite, turned around. No, we don't earn grace through the law. We don't earn our justification through the law. Our justification comes through grace. Not by performance, but what? By position. It's by our position in Christ. Paul was dealing with people who had been saved through faith, but they would get saved by faith. All right, we believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They're accepting him by faith. And then they would try to work out their salvation by good works. And that's still happening today in our life. We see it. We see it being taught. We see it being lived out in churches all across the world today where people are accepting Jesus by faith and by grace, but then they turn around and start trying to live it by works. And we think somehow that it's our works that keeps us saved. It's our works that earns our salvation. It's our works of the law that keep us into the place. No, it's always about faith. It's always about grace. It's always about grace. It's always, always about grace. And we're married to it. We've been divorced from the law and been married to grace. Galatians 3:1, look what it says here. O foolish Missourians. Are you reading that? That's what my translation says in my Bible right here. It's called the New Four-State Area Bible right here. And it says this right here. O foolish Missourians, who has bewitched you? A translation saying, who cast a spell on you? What Paul was saying. Who cast a spell on you? Who's put you in this trance, man, that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. You saw him crucified. This is only I want to learn from you. This is what Paul says. I only want to know this one thing. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Let me ask you this today. How many have received the Holy Spirit? Have you received it by faith? Have you received it by works of the law? By faith, right. We received the Spirit of God by what? By faith. This is what Paul wanted to know. So let's have one question for you. Okay, you can argue this all you want to, but let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Spirit of Jesus who you seen crucified? Did you receive it by faith, or did you receive it by law? Of course, I said by faith. Then why are we trying to live it out by the law? We receive it by faith. We receive grace by faith, never by good deeds, never by the law. We realize we are married to this grace. I was married to the law for 19 years. I can tell you the law is not very good. The law pointed out everything I did wrong. I grew up thinking, man, I am going to miss heaven every day of my life. I was good when I came home from church for about an hour. Then after that, I was like, please, Lord, don't let the rapture take place. I come home from school. If my parents wasn't there, I was like, well, the rapture is coming. God, God. My mom would leave the bowling, you know, the eggs bowling or something like that. And he was like, ah! The rapture. I mean, I was always scared of missing the rapture. I was always scared that, you know, God has come back. I was always scared that because I was under law. I didn't realize what grace was in my life. I was under law and I was ready. Every little mistake, I was going to miss heaven. And I lived 19 years of my life living under the law. And I can tell you, that's a hard way to live. A lot of sleepless nights. A lot of uneasiness in my soul and my spirit because I didn't realize what grace really was. I didn't realize I could walk under grace. I didn't realize the umbrella of the grace that God had for me. I was married to the law. And it wasn't until I had a full understanding of grace and I truly gave my heart to Christ and said, God, I'll live for you. I'll live for you. And I understand your grace. I'm understanding what you have for my life. It changed my life. And I was married to another. And when I was married to grace, it changed me. You know what I did under the law? Under the law, man, I was a horrible person. Under the law, I'd fight you in a heartbeat. Under the law, I was a very selfish person. Under the law, I was a very self-centered person. But under grace, it changed me. Under grace, I become slow to anger. Under grace, I became a person who wanted to give. Under grace, I became a kinder person. Under grace, I became a better son. Under grace, I become a better husband and father. Under grace, I became a better employer. Under grace, I become a better employee. Under grace, grace changed everything in my life. Under the old, when I was married to the old, man, it was horrible. I was miserable. But when I married grace, I found what I was looking for. Today we know this, that we are married to grace. There's a marriage of grace that God's wanting you and I to live in, to understand. The law pointed out everything I'd ever done wrong. So let's look at it like this. Jesus is our what? New husband. Jesus is our new husband, and our old husband is the law. Many Christians today are trying to please their new husband by working for their old husband. Now, let's apply that to the natural terms right now. Those of you who have been married before, and you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who have gone through a divorce in your life, and you know what I'm talking about here. That when, how would you like it? Those of you who have gone through a divorce, guys, let me ask you this question. If your wife said, honey, I'm going to go over to my ex-husband's house. I'm going to clean his house for him. I'm going to do his laundry. I'm going to cook his meals. All because I want to make you happy. I mean, you don't have to be a certified marriage counselor to know that's just a bad idea, right? You're like, well, what are you smoking, woman? What are you doing? I mean, that's a bad idea. We know that's just nothing good about that at all. We know that's the furthest thing from the way you can please that husband. But how many of us now in the spiritual do the same thing all the time? We try to please God by working for the law. We've been married to a new husband in Jesus. We've been married to a new husband in grace, and we spend our life walking around trying to work for the law. I mean, how would that make you feel? Jesus sees us, he's like, I died on Calvary. I gave my life up willingly for you. I've given you this new marriage of grace, but yet you still want to go back and serve the old husband. I mean, talking about blowing our mind away. Think about that. We would never think about wanting to do that in the natural. But in the spiritual, we do it all the time. God, I'm going to please you by holding up the law. God, I'm going to try to please you by doing the law. And I'm going to work for the law. And it's all about the law. No, it's about grace and mercy. It's about being married to grace. Today, we know this, that Jesus is our new husband. We've got to live for grace, work for grace, live for him. Let's look at number two here. The law cannot empower. The law cannot empower. The law doesn't have the power to empower you. Look at Romans 7:4 says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be what? Married to another, to him. We just read this a while ago. Let's look at it again. Married to another, to him, who was raised from the dead, that we should what? Bear fruit to God. Under the law. To be bearing any fruit? No. It's in the new marriage of grace, the new marriage of Christ, married to him, that what? We go and bear fruit. You see, it's the marriage of grace that will allow you to empower you to have a fruitful life. You want to walk in the fruit of the Spirit? Walk in grace. You want to walk empowered today by the Holy Spirit? Walk in grace. The law does not have power to produce power in your life. The law produces what? Guilt, condemnation, failure. But grace produces what? Freedom, forgiveness, mercy, thankfulness. It changes your outlet. See, grace has the power to set you free. Grace has the power to empower you to live your life. I don't know where you guys talk about getting this power of God. You know, you guys talk about Christians had this power. They had this power. I just don't know what this power is talking about. My life is just no different. Well, I would say your life is no different because you've never experienced grace. Because when you experience grace, it changes your life. Am I telling the truth, anybody? All right. Let me ask you this. If I was a thief, let's say I was a thief, growing up a thief, and I went around, and every purse I saw, I wanted to stick my hand in and take the wallet out. And every wallet and credit card, I wanted to steal. And I was just I went to the store, and I always wanted to steal everything I was around. I couldn't help myself. I just wanted to steal all the time. Would you believe me today if I said I opened up the Bible and I read the law, which says, thou shall not steal? I read that and said, boy, I better quit stealing. I just changed my life. I'm never going to steal again. I'll never steal again. How many know the chances of that happening are pretty slim, aren't they? I mean, that's just not going to happen. Because the law doesn't have power to change me. But when I open up the Bible and see where Jesus says, I've come to forgive you, even though you've stolen many things in your life. I've forgiven you anyway. And I love you anyway. Despite the man that you are that nobody knows about, I love you anyway. And I gave my son for you. I can read that and say, you know what? I need to stop stealing. I need to be a better person. Which one has the power to change my life? Is it grace or the law? Let me ask you this, wives. Let's put it more practical where the rubber meets the road. How many wives today, if your husband came to you and said this, you know what? I really want to have an affair. I really do. I want to have an affair really bad. I'm really tempted all the time to have an affair. But the law says I can't do it. So I want you to know right now, I'm not going to have an affair because the law says I can't have an affair. How many wives would feel really good about your marriage? How many wives would feel pretty secure about your marriage? But what if your husband came to you in the morning and said, honey, as soon as you woke up, he says, honey, I know you're tired. Honey, I'm not tired. You got to be tired, honey, because you've been running through my mind all night. Justin, how many times did you use that? I know you've used that a few times. Okay. The sun didn't shine until you opened your eyes. So my morning begins when you rise from the bed, baby. I want you to know that you are the object of my affection. I want you to know that I had no desire for no other woman but you. You still today, after 20 years, after 30 years, you still are the desire of my heart. And I want you to know I love you. How many wives could feel pretty secure about your husband if he did that to you all the time? Yeah, would you feel that? Yeah, that's a different way, isn't it? See, one's law and one's grace. That's the difference. See, the grace has the power to change the way you live. Grace has the power to change who you are. The law, even though it's a law, doesn't change anything by itself. It's the grace that comes with it that empowers us to live the way we should, to bring forgiveness to our lives. It's the law. Look what Galatians 2:21 says. I do not set aside grace of God. He says we don't set it aside for what? For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Paul said if we get our righteousness through the law by doing the right things, by upholding the law, then Christ died in vain. That's what he's trying to tell us there. That man, grace has no, if we set aside grace and say it's just about the law, then we're saying that Jesus, you died for no reason at all. Let's go to our next scripture here. Look at this. This is a great scripture. Romans 7:6. But now, we have been what? Delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter. What it's talking about here, this scripture actually talks about, and delivered from the law, it's the same words we use for the word discharge. Even the same vocabulary, it even translates out to the same words we use for discharge out of the service, out of the army. How many servicemen we ever had discharged here? Anybody? I've served my country in the service. You've been discharged, been in service. Anybody? Yeah. We know this, okay? So you guys, I really respect you guys. Let's give them a hand clap. Yeah, we really respect you guys. And so you guys who were serving the service, you get there, and what happens? As soon as you get to boot camp, what happens? I mean, that drill sergeant is on you all the time, isn't he? That drill sergeant is in your face. He's in your grill. He's telling you what you can do. He's telling you how you can breathe. He's telling you when you can eat, when you can sleep, when you get up, when you can walk, when you can talk, when you can get dressed, when you can undress, when you can go to sleep. He tells you everything. Your whole life is what? You owe to the Army, man. You owe to the Navy, wherever you're at. You owe them everything. They tell you what you're going to do because you're under their law. That sergeant has control over you. How many know that day that you received that discharge papers and you were legally discharged, that when you walked out of there, you're like, oh, man. Finally, I can go to bed when I want to go to bed. And I can get up when I want to get up. I can eat when I want to eat. You remember those times? How many of those guys, when you walked out of the base you were at for the last time, and someone says, "Hey, soldier," you turned around. We need someone to work in KP. Did you run in and I'll be right there. Let me back, open the gates back up. Let me back in, guys. Let me back in. They need someone to help work in the mess hall. Did we do that? No, that's what he's talking about here, that we have been discharged from the law. But many of us are still like that. We've been discharged, legally been discharged from the law, but yet the law has been controlling us so long that as soon as the law speaks, we're like, "Yes, sir, I'll go back." I mean, it's already in us. And that's what he's talking about here. We have been legally discharged by the law. And we're now into a merit of grace. Look what it says here. We should serve the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter. It's the newness of grace that changes our life, that empowers us. And the third thing we see here, only love can justify and empower. If the law cannot justify and the law cannot empower, then love must be able to. It's only love can bring justification. Only love and grace can empower. I've heard for many years that if I were to preach on grace, pastor just giving people a free pass to sin. You better not preach on grace too much. People are going to go out and sin all the time. Sin, 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 sin. Well, isn't that special? Okay, anyway. Going to go out and you're going to sin. Don't preach on grace too much. People just think it's a free pass to go out and live how they want in the sin. Let me tell you that I do not believe that at all. I don't believe it at all. I don't believe if we teach on grace that people think they have a free pass to go out and sin. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Do you realize that Jesus teaches in opposites, doesn't he? Think about it. Jesus taught in opposites all the time. He says if you want to receive, you got to what? Give. We receive by what? Giving. That's kind of a weird concept, isn't it? You receive by giving. That's an opposite. He says, you want to have authority? You have authority by what? Getting under authority. He says, you want to have authority? Then first of all, you must get under authority. That's an opposite. I'm going to receive authority by getting under authority. I'm going to receive by giving. I mean, this is the opposite teaching. If we will give, we receive. We get under authority, we receive authority. Jesus teaches in opposites all the time. He says, you want to live, you must first what? Die. You want to live, you got to die to yourself. I mean, Jesus always taught the very opposite. If you want this, you must do the very opposite. You want to live life to the fullest, and you must die to your flesh. You want to receive, you must give. You want to have authority, you must give under authority. I mean, constantly in Scripture we see where Jesus taught us to do the opposite thing. But when it comes to grace in our life, when it comes to our life, we want people to follow the law, we want people to do the right thing, then we got to teach to live holy, then we got to teach the law. We want people to live a holy life, then we got to teach the law and cram the law down their throat. I don't believe it's the case. 1 Corinthians 15, look what it says here in verse 56 and 7. The sting of death is what? Sin. And the strength of sin is what? The law. Boy, that just kind of takes that theory out the water, doesn't it? The strength of sin is the law. Why is that? Because the strength of sin is Satan coming to you and accusing you of what you've done. You know what God's word says. You know, Satan knows the Bible better than you do. He knows the law better than you ever thought about knowing it. He knows it. And he's going to use it against you. As a Christian, he's going to come against you and tell you, you know what? You didn't uphold the law here. You failed God here. You messed up here. You messed up there. And he's going to accuse the brethren. That's where what? That's where the strength of sin is that Satan uses it to come against you, to bring it up, to throw it in your face. But thanks be to God who gives us what? The victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ brings grace. He brings grace and freedom. The law brings what? Condemnation. But Jesus brings grace and freedom. Therefore, it sets me free to live my life, to live for Him. So let's put it in the practical terms here. So let me ask you this question. If I told you that you used to be married to a legalist person who always pointed out your faults, who showed no mercy to you, who showed no compassion. And now you are married to a merciful, compassionate, thoughtful person. And before you were married to a person, all they did was tell you what you did wrong. They were legalistic. They were condemning you all the time, always pointing out your faults. But now you're married to a person who loves you just the way you are. A person who laid down their life for you. A person who gives you grace and mercy. A person who willingly gives you grace. Let me ask you this. Does that make you want to go out and sin? Does it make you want to go out and sin because you've been given a better marriage? No. And let me say this to you, this very true. If the fact that you have been given grace by Jesus Christ, if the fact that you have received grace makes you want to go out and live how you want to live, I tell you this right now, you're never saved to begin with. Woo. He didn't just say that, did he? Yes, he did. And I'll say it again. If the fact that you have an understanding of grace and you think you can go out and live how you want to because of it, you don't have an understanding of grace at all. Because when I realize what grace has done for my life, it changes the way I want to act. It's not a free hall pass to go out and live how I want to, but it changes the way I want to become a better person. I want to please God. And yes, I make mistakes. And yes, we all have fallen short of the glory of God, but He's given us His grace. And just because I have His grace, it's not a free hall pass to go out and live how I want to. And I say, if you have the attitude, then you need to recheck your salvation. Because when you have an understanding of grace, it's just the opposite. Because I've been given grace, I want to live right. Because I've been given grace, I want to do better. Because I've been given grace, I want to please the Lord. Because I've been given grace, I want to do the right things. This is how we know. Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. How many know that Jesus said that? He didn't say it out of the law. When Jesus promised He'd never leave us nor forsake us, He didn't say it out of the law, but He said it out of grace. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's the power of being married to grace. Today we have the opportunity to be married to grace. The old marriage was a horrible marriage, very condemning, very miserable. But we've been given a new marriage in Christ, a marriage of grace which sets us free. Unmerited favor, undeserving forgiveness. A person who wakes up in the morning and looks at you and says, you know what, you're my child, and I'd die for you again if I need to. A person who you wake up in the morning, he looks at you and says, what took you so long to get up? I've been waiting to talk to you all day. A person who says, you know what, I can't wait to spend this day with you. I can't wait to give you my spirit. I can't wait to show you how much I love you. I can't wait to hear what's on your heart. I can't wait to commune with you. That's grace. It's the marriage of our Savior to us. Because all things have been met. Old things have been passed away. All things have been made new to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads today. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for grace that just blows us away, God. It consumes us. We realize the power of our grace. Some of us here today, we know we're walking in grace, and we know we receive our salvation from grace. But many of us here today, we still struggle with trying to live by the law to please you, God. And that's not what you want. You're not asking us to serve that old husband. You're not asking us to go back and to try to please you by pleasing the law. God, we please you by continuing every day to get up and to walk in faith. God, today I'm going to trust you. God, today I believe you're the Messiah still. Today, God, I believe your grace is big for my life. God, today I want to please you. Today, God, I want to live right because you have made me righteous. God, today I want to do the right thing because you took in my account and placed righteousness, took all my sin and threw it into your account. That's grace, God. And today, I want to be married to your grace. Some of you here, Christ has been out there and He's been waiting for you to walk in this new marriage. He's been waiting, and somehow we just have neglected that part of our marriage to Jesus. We've neglected it. We've allowed ourselves to be a slave to the old marriage of law. And today Jesus is like, man, I'm waiting for you to walk into this full covenant that I have with you. It's a covenant of marriage, of grace. Today maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior before. You're talking about grace and mercy, and today I'm ready to accept that in my life. I've never asked Jesus Christ to be Lord and my Savior. And today I want to make that decision. I would not embarrass you in any way at all. I want to give you an opportunity here to make that decision if you're here. Say, Pastor, I'm ready today to ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I want to make sure heaven's my home. And today I'm ready to start a new life in Jesus. Anybody here today say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ today. Can you raise your hand? Say, that's me. Thank you. Anybody else say, I want to join this person. Raise it high where I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else say, you want to join these two people today? Say, I'm ready to make a life-changing decision. Let's say this prayer together before we go any further. Let's say it out loud, especially those today who raise your hands. I want you to really say this prayer. We're all going to join with you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And today, I will live for you. I accept your forgiveness. I confess you as Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say welcome to the family of God. Amen. Let's give them a hand clap. Yeah. Before you leave today, we got some special Bibles in the back and a packet just to kind of tell you what to do next. Some very important information. Stop by there in the very back and pick one of those up today before you leave if you prayed that prayer for the first time. The rest of you today, I want you to stand where you're at. I want to ask us all this question. How many today say, Pastor, I'm tired of serving the old man. I'm tired of trying to live by the law. Today, I want to walk in the fullness of the new marriage that God has for me. Anybody here today say, Pastor, God's speaking to me. I'm ready to do that today. You want to walk into the new grace? Yeah. Boy, what a powerful, powerful word today that we take that and apply it to our life. The marriage of grace. Let's lift our hands one more time to the Lord, can we? Father, we lift our hands to you, thanking you, God, that you have given us this marriage of grace. We are people so undeserving. But God, you died for us, gave your life for us, that we could die in you, being set free from the old law, and now free to walk in a new covenant, a new marriage with you and your grace. And I pray to Father that we would have a revelation of your grace so much that God, it would change the way we live. It would change the way we walk and talk, the act around people. Lord, it would change the way we make decisions in our life. That God, instead of being a free pass, we see it as a motivation to want to please you more. Because we have been freely forgiven, I want to give even more to you, God. Because I have been freely given grace, I want to live my life sold out to you, God. And today we thank you, God, that you have given us this power of grace, this marriage of grace. We say today, Father, we make this covenant with you. We're going to leave the old man behind. And we're going to walk in this full covenant of the new marriage with you. And we thank you today. We say together, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Find a group today to get involved in. Shake a hand before you leave. God bless you.